Next slide. A year ago today, 61-year-old James McClurkin from Columbia, South Carolina, was released from the Broad River State Penitentiary after serving 40 years for a murder he did not commit. Back in April of 2017, prosecutors found evidence that he did not kill 84-year-old Claude Killian way back in August of 1973. So they let him go. And this is what James McClurkin said. I'm free. I spent 40 years locked up in a nightmare, and finally I've been set free from it. Now, it's not right that that guy spent 40 years locked up when he shouldn't have been and didn't have to be. But you know what else isn't right? All those things in our lives that have kept us locked up for years and years too, when we shouldn't have been and didn't have to be either. But you know what? We can be set free from all of those things. And it's Jesus Christ who can do that for us. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Be Set Free, looking at how we can be delivered from all those nasty things in our lives that keep us bound and keep us from living the life that God wants us to have. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at how Jesus can set us free from that one common thing that has most every single one of us bound, and that's worry. And to see that, we turn this morning to Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, or follow on the screen, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for that song, and just thank you, Lord, that we have such a friend in Jesus. Just thank you, Lord, that you are our Heavenly Father watching over us. And I pray you just teach us this morning how desperately we need to take all the things we worry about and simply turn them over to you in prayer. I pray you just show us what worry does and how we need to make that choice for faith in you. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Dear Abby, I will be in the seventh grade next September at a new school, and I'm sick and tired of being worried about everything. I'm worried that my parents might get a divorce. I'm worried that I might get killed in a mass shooting at the mall. And what if I don't make any friends at the new school? What if nobody likes me? What if no guy ever asks me out? What if I can't do all the AP classes? No matter what I try, I can't get rid of the worries. I guess there's just no cure. Signed, 12, and stressed out. No, there is a cure for worry, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus' words in the text we have in front of us this morning tell us all about it. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 24, Jesus tells us that we need to serve God rather than money. And our text today tells us we don't need to worry about serving God, because if we put God first, he will make sure that we have absolutely everything we need in order to survive and get by. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, tells us three things that we need to do in order to be set free from all the worry in our lives that keeps us bound. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do in order to be set free from worry, We need to understand what worry is. Jesus says here, verse 25, do not worry. And that word worry in the original Greek literally means to tear apart. And that English word worry comes from a root that means to strangle. So worry can literally rip you in half and choke the life out of you if you don't get away from it. Folks, worry is not something good. Now, it starts out as something good. When your house burns down, when your wife dumps you for a himbo she meets on Instagram, when your BFF is paralyzed in a four-wheeler accident, there's that rush of adrenaline that helps you focus and gives you the strength to fight or flight and helps you deal with the problem. And that's a good thing. But the problem is, instead of dealing with that problem and moving on, we start to fixate on the problem itself. And the more we do that, the problem gets bigger and bigger, and God gets smaller and smaller. And instead of trusting God to take control of the problem, we try to take control of the problem ourselves. And that's worry. And before you know it, you're popping Xanax like peanut M&Ms. See the sign? Zombies eat brains, so don't worry, you're safe. No, folks, worry is not a joke. There's absolutely nothing cute or funny or innocent about it at all. And don't you dare let it take control of your life. Worry is a spiritual attack that gets all of our focus off of what God can do and puts all of our focus on what the devil can do. Amen. Worry is a sin because it gives the devil permission to set up shop in your brain and take control of everything you do. Worry is a poison that infects every single area of our lives and destroys all the freedom and the joy and the peace that we have in Christ. Do we understand why we need to be set free from worry? Do we understand what worry does to us? Even physically. When we worry, our bodies release inflammatory hormones that cause things like sleeplessness, obesity, weight gain, high blood pressure, heart disease, stomach and digestive disorders, respiratory problems. Amen. The American Medical Association says 90% of all sickness in America starts with worry. 2 out of 3 college students today report overwhelming anxiety. Worry is the number one mental health problem in America today and the most common reason why most people go to counseling. Folks, it's killing us. The smartest, richest, most talented, most technologically advanced society to ever occupy this planet is literally worrying itself to death right in front of our very eyes. You say, Kevin, you tell me that, now I'm worried about worrying. See how it works? You see why Jesus tells us not to worry? And even worse is what worry does to us spiritually and psychologically. Howie Mandel, one of the judges on America's Got Talent, is a germaphobe. That's worry. Lady Gaga has to wear winter gloves when she travels on an airplane to keep from chewing her fingernails off. That's worry. When we worry, this is the damage it does psychologically. Depression, anger, panic attacks, PTSD, OCD, perfectionism, workaholism. We could go on and on. That's why worry is the number one thing that Jesus warns us against in the Gospels. Worry always leads to fear. And wherever there's fear, there's lack of faith in God. People, God wants us to enjoy our lives and everything that He's given us. But we can't do that as long as we're constantly carrying around all those worries about the mites and the coulds and the what-ifs. Last month in Brisbane, Australia, a guy showed up at a train station lugging a refrigerator on a two-wheeler. And when he tried to get that thing on the train, it got stuck in the door. And security gave him a $250 fine for causing a hazard, and they kicked the guy off. And that poor guy had to lug that refrigerator all the way back to wherever he came from. Now, how sad. But folks, how many of us right now sitting in this church, listening to this sermon, are just like that guy? Lugging around this big, old, heavy thing called worry everywhere we go. Causing a hazard, getting us in trouble, and wearing us out. That would be every one of us. You wake up at 2:30 in the morning and immediately, oh yeah, that. And you can't go back to sleep because your mind starts to race and you start to panic. and you pick up right where you left off the night before. So your life is just one long, never-ending stream of constant, uninterrupted worry, 24/7, 365. Is my daughter being abused by my son-in-law? What's the doctor going to say about my MRI? Is the insurance company ever going to pay up? Is today when my brother is going to commit suicide? And you've got to anticipate every single bad possibility there is so it doesn't surprise you. And even when something good does happen, you can't enjoy it because you spend all your time waiting for the other shoe to drop. Me too. My mom was so good at worrying, she could worry the legs off a solid oak drop leaf dining room table. And she taught me everything about it. But folks, do we realize what worry really is? Do we realize what an ugly thing worry really is? Those big old nasty ugly things you see there in the pictures on people's bodies are called warts. And warts are not only ugly because of the way that they look, warts are also ugly because of how they grow and because of what they do to us. Warts are caused by a virus that's spread by a carrier. And once that virus gets on you and takes root in your skin, it takes over and forces your body to give that wart what it needs to grow. Even taps into your blood supply for oxygen and minerals and nutrients. Warts are parasites because they take over your body and take on a life of their own while they're sucking the life out of you. Warts can show up anytime, anywhere. And what's even worse, they can spread. So once you get one, they can just start growing like crazy. They take over your whole body and hurt you and get in your way and keep you from doing what you want to do and from what you need to do. And because warts are contagious, you can spread those things to everybody you come in contact with. Now, as ugly and nasty as those warts are, there's another kind of wart that's even worse than that, and that's a worry wart. Worry warts are caused by a virus called doubt. And once that gets in you and takes root in you, it forces you, your heart and your mind, to give that worry wart everything it needs to grow. And it takes on a life of its own while it's sucking the life out of you. Worry warts can show up anytime, anywhere. And worst of all, they can spread. So once you get one worry wart, they can just start growing like crazy. And they hurt you. And they get in your way. And they keep you from doing what God wants you to do and having the life that God wants you to have. And because worry warts are contagious too, you can spread that worry to everybody you come in contact with as well. Now, worry warts don't show up on the outside, but they're sure enough there on the inside, aren't they? Let me ask you this morning, how many of those big old nasty ugly worry warts are you carrying around inside? And listen to me. Those worry warts are a foreign invader. They do not belong in your life. They do not have to stay in our lives if we would just realize what worry is and how we're supposed to deal with it. The first thing that we need to do in order to be free from worry, we need to understand what it is. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to be free of worry. We not only need to understand what worry is, we also need to simply trust God. And that is exactly what Jesus is telling us here, verses 25 to 32. And why trust God? Because Jesus says in verse 27, all the worry in the world won't make you live any longer or won't make you grow any taller. Worry doesn't do diddly. Scientists tell us 90% of everything you worry about never happens. You say, Kevin, see, it works. No. Worry doesn't stop all the bad stuff that happens. It just stops us from enjoying the good stuff that happens. To overcome worry, you simply need to trust that God is going to take care of you. Now, the world has all kinds of things that they claim will take your worries away. And of course, they don't. See the signs? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, Beyonce. Don't worry, don't cry, drink vodka and fly. Oh yeah, that'll work. All those happy mantras may make you feel better for a little while, but they don't do anything to keep you from worrying again. There's all kinds of anti-anxiety meds, like Clonopin and Ativan. And some of you listening to this sermon this morning, you may really need to take some of those in order to deal with your symptoms. But just remember, all the drugs in the world never solve the real problem. When snow monkeys in Japan get stressed in the wintertime because there's a lack of food, they decompress by finding hot springs in the mountains and soaking in them. We human beings do exactly the same thing. It's called sitting in a hot tub. But the problem is, the very nanosecond you get out of the tub, the worry just kicks in all over again. The rage right now in China to relax is to have nightingale droppings spread all over your face. Folks, I freak out if a bird dumps on me by accident. I can't imagine what I would do if that stuff was put on me on purpose. I've heard of having egg on your face, but that part of the bird is ridiculous. There's only one thing that will really take away your worries, and that's trusting God to take them away. Now, we need to realize, when your 14-year-old daughter tells you that she's pregnant, when you find out your property taxes are going to double, when your job moves to Mexico, we've got to realize the stress is not out there, it's in here. Worry is not caused by bad things that happen. Worry is caused by how we respond to the bad things that happen. So are we going to respond with worry, or are we going to respond with faith in God? And because there's not enough room in your heart for both, you've got to pick one. And why should we trust God? Because Jesus tells us here two times, verse 26 and verse 32, that God is our Heavenly Father, who absolutely knows exactly what we need and wants to give it to us. Now, we need to correct a misunderstanding here. Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6 in the King James Version, Jesus says this, "Take no thought for your life, your body, your food, or your clothes." And that makes it seem like those are things we don't even have to think about. But no, trusting God does not mean you don't work, or you don't save money, or shop at Goodwill, or buy health insurance, or make hay while the sun shines. You do have to work for some things. That's part of the way God provides. Just don't worry about them. So the question is, are we trusting God? Parents, let me ask you, if your kids always ate every meal at the neighbor's house, if they constantly called up your landlord to check and see if you paid the rent every month, if your kids wanted you to sign a contract promising that you'd take them to the dentist if they had a toothache, if your kids always asked their friend's mother to wash their clothes, how would that make you feel as a father or a mother if your kids did not trust you to take care of them? And how do you think it makes God feel as a Heavenly Father when you don't trust Him to take care of you? We trust that God's going to take us to heaven someday, but we can't trust Him to get us through the next 24 hours or the next week or the next month. We trust God for all the big things, but not for the little things. That doesn't make any sense. And I know there's people listening to the sermon right now saying, "Well, Kevin, how do we know that we can trust Him? How do we know that God is going to take care of us and provide for us?" Jesus says, verses 26 to 31, just look at nature. Just look at how God takes care of and provides for birds and plants. Plants like the water lily. That thing's entire life absolutely depends on soaking up as much sun as it possibly can. 24/7, which means it can't have a lot of dirt and dust built up on top of it or it'd never survive. So what do you know? God created the water lily, upper right-hand corner, with a surface like fine sandpaper, with raised bumps. So dust and dirt particles can't even stick to it and pile up. And because of those raised bumps, that water lily is also something called super hydrophobic, which means even water droplets can't stick to it. So when the water drops roll away, they pick up all the dust and the dirt particles, and they take those things away too. Self-cleaning nanotechnology, courtesy of God, or that water lily would never survive. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Look at the hummingbird. If we human beings used as much energy as a hummingbird did, we would have to eat 1,300 hamburgers and drink 22 gallons of water every day. But see, the hummingbird feeds on nectar that comes from flowers. So the hummingbird sticks its long beak into that flower, and then its tongue licks up the sweet stuff 13 times per second. But in order to swallow, the hummingbird has to back up and pull out of that flower, like you see on the video, over and over and over again. Now, in order to do that, that hummingbird has to fly backwards. So what do you know? Unlike all the wings of all the other birds that have ever existed that flap from a joint in the middle, God created the hummingbird's wings to swivel at the shoulders. So that hummingbird can fly backwards and swallow and survive. And here's the point. Plants and birds are not created in the image of God. You are. And Matthew 10:31, you are far more value to God than all the plants and the birds and the whole wide world combined. And if God does all those things to take care of a stupid water plant that doesn't even survive the summer and a little bird no bigger than your thumb, you don't trust that God will do absolutely everything he possibly can to take care of you? Are you trusting him to take care of you? That person there is trusting God to take care of her. In case anybody doesn't know, that woman on the screen is Virginia Mathery. It's Patty Chandler's mom. She's a regular here at Fox River, but the reason you haven't seen her here the last couple of months is because she's had a little adventure. She's 91 years old, and last March, she had a really hard time swallowing. And every time she'd eat something, it'd go down the wrong pipe, and it would choke her. So her family took her to Copley Hospital. They put in a trach tube, did a bunch of tests, all kinds of people praying for her. Me and Andrew went up there to see her, and even though she couldn't speak very well, the first thing she told us, I'm not worried, I'm trusting God, he's going to heal me, this too shall pass. Results of the test came back, squamous cell cancerous tumor wrapped around her larynx. Holy cow. Did I mention that she was 91 years old. Now, some of the doctors up there didn't want to do anything, but Virginia Mathery wasn't going to give up. She's trusting God. Now, they couldn't cut that tumor out because it would cause too much damage. So the other option, even though it was high risk because of her age, was radiation. But in order to go through radiation, they had to build up her strength first. So they started doing physical therapy at Copley. One day they asked Virginia Mathery to get out of bed and walk 5 feet over to the chair. 5 feet, nothing. She got out of bed, walked out of the room, all the way down the hall and all the way back. That woman was trusting God to be healed. So they put her in Tiller's nursing home in Yorkville to get her more PT and to try to get her weight up. Now, folks, can you imagine being 91 years old, you've got a cancer tumor in your throat and skinny as a rail? You talk about a reason to worry. But I'll tell you, Virginia Mathery never worried. She never panicked. She never got depressed. She never quit. She never gave up. She trusted God. And what do you know? While she was at Tiller's, her weight started to go up. And she started to get stronger. She would do all of her PT without taking any breaks at all between the exercise. She was walking laps around that whole nursing home. They put in a brand new trach tube with a valve so she could speak instead of having to write on a whiteboard. That woman was bound and determined she was going to get well and get back to her house in Helmer. So where is Virginia Mathery now? Well, she was scheduled for 35 radiation treatments, something pretty hairy even for somebody half her age. But let me tell you, as of today, Virginia Mathery is back in her house in Helmer, just exactly like she said. She's got 19 radiation treatments under her belt. Her lungs are strong. Her weight is up. Her skin is not burned. And the only irritation she has is a little bit of a sore throat. Doctors told her there could be all kinds of ramifications. They told her that the radiation could sap her strength. The radiation could burn her skin severely. The radiation could damage her sense of smell and her sense of taste. People know effects, and the doctors are absolutely flabbergasted today because that tumor is shrinking. As sure as Smokey Bear lives in the woods, that tumor is shrinking, just exactly like Virginia trusted. Psalm chapter 112, verse 7, those who trust in the Lord will not worry in times of trouble. Now, over the last several months, Patty Chandler and Ron Mathry, Virginia's kids, have given everybody email updates on the mom's progress. And they always end those updates with a little devotion. And here's one of the latest ones. So good to know that no matter what happens in our lives, there is no doubt that God is for us. He remains worthy of our praise in all circumstances. When all is said and done, it is so good to know that the unchanging God has made a vow to hold us and keep us as His children. He won't let us down, won't love us less, and couldn't love us more. Folks, those are people who know exactly what to do with all their worries and how to trust in the Lord. Now, the question is, how about all the rest of us? The second thing that we need to do in order to be free from worry, we need to trust God. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to do in order to be free of worry. We not only need to understand what worry is, we not only need to trust God, but third, verses 33 and 34, we need to put God first. God never promised that He'd be Santa Claus passing out free government cheese to everybody. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, everybody knows the verse. And that verse is a promise. But notice, there's a condition. God will give you everything you need if you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. In other words, you make God your number one priority. His kingdom, not your kingdom. If you care more about your character than your reputation. If you make more disciples than Facebook friends. If you focus more on your testimony than your tweets. If you work harder on your porn problem than your love handles. You take care of all the big things. God says, I'll take care of all your little things and give you everything you need. Don't worry. We put God first and overcome worry when we trust God every single day to give us what we need to overcome whatever trouble comes up that particular day. Jesus said, verse 34, every single day has its own quota of trouble. So every single day, God gives us whatever we need to deal with it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23. His mercies are new every morning for that particular day. God gives us everything we need to deal with today. Tomorrow, He will give us whatever we need to deal with that day. And then the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. So Jesus is telling us, you take one day at a time. God knows we handle trouble a lot better when it's parceled out, a little bit at a time, every single day. So God parcels out all the resources we need to deal with that trouble, a little bit at a time, every single day. I jog 25 miles a week for exercise. I don't have the energy to run all 25 miles all in one day. But God does give me enough juice to run 5 miles a day, each day, 5 days a week. One day at a time. Because God knows if we are totally focusing on trusting Him for today, we won't worry about yesterday or tomorrow. And we won't worry about yesterday or tomorrow. We don't take trouble away from yesterday or tomorrow. We just take away the strength that God has given us to deal with the trouble today. Cubs pitcher Yu Darvish is a head case now who can't throw a strike because he couldn't throw strikes at the beginning of the year. He's letting worry about his yesterday hurt his today. But folks, for crying out loud, don't worry about the past. If you can't change it, don't worry about it. You can't unscramble an egg. You can't change your yesterday, but see, you and God can change your today. And for heaven's sakes, don't worry about tomorrow because God is timeless and He's already there in your tomorrow. Amen. So God is already there working out whatever it is you're worried about today. Don't worry. We overcome worry when we lift up God and put Him first and pray. Prayer is a spiritual battle and we've got to fight it with a spiritual weapon. So pray. Don't be a worrier. Be a warrior. Because the devil is trying to use that worry in your life to get you enslaved so he can lead you around and jerk your chain and stop you from doing all the things that God has called you to do for the kingdom. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. When we present ourselves as an obedient slave to someone or something, we become slaves to whatever it is that we obey. But people, listen to me. You are not a slave. So don't act like one. And it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, even freedom from worry. But we've got to fight for it. So get down on your knees, get down in the trenches and pray. Amen. Jesus did. Jesus would pray for an entire night. And because of that, Jesus never spent one nanosecond in worry. So pray. Don't worry about it, pray about it. Worry doesn't change anything. Prayer changes everything. So don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. So pray. Talk to God. Cast all your anxiety on Him. Thank Him for everything He's done for you and pray. And when we pray and lift Him up and put Him first, He will always, always help us. The picture you see on the screen is 17-year-old Rome Schubert, Santa Fe High School, Santa Fe, Texas. He's a junior there. Born-again Christian, he glorifies God through baseball. So good at pitching, he's already signed a letter of intent to go to the University of Houston in 2 years. Last Thursday, May the 17th, he got 11 strikeouts for Santa Fe High School in a state playoff game. But 7:43 a.m. the next morning, he was back in school in art class working on a project when all of a sudden, 17-year-old Dmitry Pogorchis walked into that hallway and started blasting with an .870 shotgun. And everybody inside of that art room freaked out, paralyzed, didn't know what to do. Roman Schubert started praying, God help me, God help me. And then all of a sudden, he felt somebody tapping him on the shoulder. And when he turned his head, there was nobody there. But the very nanosecond he turned his head, Dmitry Pogorchis shot into that classroom and hit Roman Schubert right in the back of the head. But in spite of that, Roman got up, ran out of another door, all the way to the courtyard where it was safe. Now, how in the world could that kid do that, run away like that when he'd been shot in the back of the head with a shotgun? I'll tell you how. Because when God tapped him on the shoulder and had him turn his head, it was exactly the right angle. So when those shotgun pellets went into his head, right behind his right ear, and came out underneath his left ear, they hit nothing but fat in between. Doctors said it was a miracle shot, because if those shotgun pellets had either gone a half a millimeter to the right or to the left, goodbye C1 vertebrae, Roman Schubert would have either been killed or paralyzed for the rest of his life. This is what Roman Schubert said. I just say it's a miracle, and thank you, Jesus. When you put God first, you don't ever have to worry about anything, because He will always help you do whatever you need to do to be in His will. He's 17 years old. He could have chosen to have me die for Him, and He would have helped me do that. But instead, He wants me to live for Him. So I'm just going to keep trusting Him even more. You put God first and you pray, He will always, always, always help you. And that's something that God has to remind me of over and over and over again. Back in 2005, Sue and I spoke at a Bible camp in the Czech Republic. And because we had to fly back home out of Frankfurt, Germany, we decided to take 4 days after that Bible camp was over and see as much of Germany as we possibly could before we had to get back on the plane. So let the worrying begin. Well, we had to rent a car in Frankfurt, and we talked to the people on the phone who could barely understand or speak English and told them we needed an automatic because I don't know how to drive a stick shift. So I started worrying, what kind of car was I going to get? And I worried until we got to the rental place that day. They did have an automatic. A Mercedes-Benz model that would go 160 miles an hour. Why did I worry? Well, the guy who was supposed to show us how to operate the car didn't speak English, so he said a couple of things to me in German, and tossed me the keys. Now, Sue and I had to find Autobahn 3 to get to Rotenburg. That was our first stop the first night. We didn't even know how to get out of Frankfurt. And there was no map, there was no GPS, and I started to worry. We're just going to get stuck in the city. We're just going to go round and around in circles. So I walked back in the rental place, asked the guy behind the desk, Autobahn 3, and he goes, blah, 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 blah. And then he held out his arms like this, like a bird was flying. And after a couple minutes, I finally figured out, he was telling me, follow the signs for the airport, and that will take you to Autobahn 3. So we got back in the car, we took off, we followed the signs for the airport, we got on Autobahn 3, got to Rotenburg, survived the first day. Why did I worry? Well, we drove from Rotenburg all over Bavaria, we saw the castles of Mad Ludwig, but we noticed as we were tooling along, the fuel gauge was getting low. And we knew where the fuel door was that covered the gas cap, but we couldn't get the thing to open. And the owner's manual was in German. And I started to worry. We're going to get stranded. We're going to get stuck along the Autobahn. Somebody's going to mug us while we're here. But then as we were driving toward the Black Forest, we saw a Mercedes-Benz dealership off the highway. So we pulled in, parked by the gate, and right at that time, a woman was coming to work. So I got out of my car, and I pointed toward the little fuel door, and I said, "Gas, gas." And she said, "B-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b." And she went like this. She was telling me to turn the car off. So I turned the engine off. She touched the little door, and it opened up. Come to find out, on that model, you had 10 seconds after you shut the car off to open up the fuel door. So we figured out how to put the gas in. We filled up. Off we went. Why did I worry? Well, at the end of the fourth day, we had to get back to Frankfurt to stay at a place called Hotel Maingau for our last night in Europe. So we had to go from Autobahn 3. We had to find Autobahn 4 and an exit that said Sachsenhausen District. And everything was peaches. We're cruising along Autobahn 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden, a big truck in front of us jackknifes and splatters a huge trailer all over the lanes. Autobahn 3 turns into a parking lot. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we sit there hour after hour. It's getting dark. I'm starting to worry. We're not going to make it. We're going to lose our reservation. We're going to get lost. And all of a sudden, we noticed as time went on, people were driving on the shoulder and then going up and taking the next exit. And a big truck did that in front of us and said, "Hey, follow that truck because he's probably going to Frankfurt, and truck drivers know all the back roads." So we followed that truck, and what do you know? We did get close to Frankfurt. Why did I worry? But then we couldn't find Autobahn number 4. And it was getting darker and darker. It was getting later and later. I just knew we were going to get stranded. We were going to be lost. So I pulled off in a residential neighborhood. There was a guy mowing his grass in the front yard. I yelled out of the window, "Autobahn 4. And he goes, blah, 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 and he pointed in that direction. So we took off in the direction of that point. 2 miles down the road, there was a sign that said Autobahn 4 and Sachsenhausen District. Why did I worry? But once we got into Sachsenhausen District, where was Hotel Maingau? And by this time, it was after dark. And I just knew we were going to get stranded, lost. Somebody was going to jack us up. We drove up all and down the streets. We went back and forth. We couldn't find that place anywhere. All of a sudden, we found a Holiday Inn. Walked inside. The woman behind the desk spoke English. And she gave us a map of Frankfurt that was in English. She showed exactly where Hotel Maingau was. Why did we worry? But then we got to the street where Hotel Maingau was. No place to park anywhere. 700 billion cars parked all over the place. And what really upset me was there was a stupid little construction wagon parked right in front of that hotel where we needed to go. Would have made a perfect parking spot for me. And I didn't want to park in a parking garage 1,000 miles away because Rick Steves told me it's not safe to walk the streets of Frankfurt at night. And I didn't want that car to get towed or stolen because I had to return it to the rental place the next day. No parking spot. Finally, I gave up. I double parked. I walked into Hotel Maingau, and I said, "My wife and I have reservations for this hotel. There is no place out here to park this car." And the clerk said, "Just a minute." Walked outside, bent over, grabbed the tongue of that little construction cart, pushed it up on the sidewalk, and said, "You can park right there." Right in front of the hotel. People, I worried my tail off, driving all over Germany, trying to get back to Frankfurt, finding a needle in a haystack hotel and a good, safe place to park. And God not only took care of everything we needed, He even found me a parking spot 5 feet away from the front door. Oh, me of little faith. Why in the world did I worry? Why in the world do you worry? There's people sitting in this room right now, listen to this sermon. Worry is absolutely destroying your life. You can't sleep. You have no peace. You have no joy. And you need to know that is not right. That is not the way that God has called you to live. That is not the way He intends you to live. That's not the way He wants you to live. It's killing you and it's breaking His heart too. But you also need to know you don't have to live like that. Amen. We don't have to live like that. There is something that defeats worry. It's simple faith in God through prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Make your request known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Something supernatural happens every time we purposely choose to give our worries to God. We don't understand it. We can't explain it. It makes absolutely no human or worldly sense whatsoever, but it's guaranteed. You give your worries to God, in return, God will give you His peace. So let's do that. You remember the old Allstate logo? You're in good hands. Would you bow your heads right now and close your eyes and just picture those hands, God's hands, cupped together, reaching out to you. And right now, let's just surrender the control we think we have over all those things that we worry about in our lives. And let's put those worries one by one into God's hands. Everything. Worries about your marriage, your kids, your money, your job, CAT scan, the cancer that you have, everything. Put all that in His hands. And now, everybody take a deep breath. Your mind is on things above. Your eyes are on the hills from whence cometh your help. And your feet are standing on the solid rock of ages. Right now, you are free. And let's pray. Lord, we know that You want so much more than our worries. You want more than that. You want our hearts. You want our lives. And Lord, we come to You today, people who are weighed down by all kinds of worries and concerns. We are so afraid of tomorrow. We waste so much energy. And Lord, I pray that You would just teach us. We need to do exactly what we just did as many times as necessary. Lord, the cure for worry is prayer and faith. And I pray that You just increase our faith. And Lord, just take all these burdens off of us. We cast them on You so You can carry them and take them away. Just thank You for the way You provide. And Lord, I pray that You just increase our faith, increase our trust, increase our love for You to put You first and to expect You to do great things. All this we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.